Let us pray. O Lord, may the meditations on all of our hearts and the words from my lips be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. So we just witnessed a baptism. And what we saw there at that font was a burial. That's right. Orion was buried with Christ. And that goes for everyone who has been baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In baptism, you are buried, friends. And if you think that means that you are also killed in the waters of holy baptism, right, you are. In baptism, the baptized die. And in baptism, the baptized live. Just as waters kill and clean, so it is with baptism, in which there is both death and cleansing for the sinner. Today's a great day to have a baptism, if only because in the Word of God, the epistle reading, we hear Paul talk about baptism as he writes to the Colossians. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Having been buried with him in baptism, the apostle says that. In Christ you are buried, and in Christ you are raised. Now, allow me to expound upon what I mean when I say the baptized is put to death and buried with the Lord. What I mean is simply this. In all of us, there is that sinful nature. None of us are exempt. In all of us, Christian, there is sin, and that sin is in direct opposition to the Spirit of God. Not only does God's Word teach us this, but so do our experiences as God's children. Just think about how many times you have struggled to do the right thing. You knew what you're supposed to do. You heard by God's Word what you were supposed to do, only to, in the end, fall in your sin. You thought about it, you struggled, you wrestled with it, you wanted to do the right thing, but you succumbed to your sin. The biblical reason for this is that alongside the good we want to do, evil is close at hand. Hence the reason Christians feel sometimes as if there is a war zone going on in their bodies between good and evil, between sinful fleshy desires and inclinations, and the Spirit of God telling you what to do by His holy word. Another name for the sinful flesh, it's a popular name, one that I say often, is the old Adam. The old man in us that is very different from the new man in Christ. The old man is the sinful nature that permeates our flesh and, yes, even our minds. Even our thoughts are not free from sinful desires. Such is the power of the sinful flesh that when Paul writes to the Colossians, he calls them ones who were, quote, dead in your trespasses. It's what the apostle says to them before Christ. They are dead in trespasses. That's another way of saying, friends, without being regenerated in Christ, without being alive to God as His child, His baptized child by faith, you are as good as dead, dead in your sin. And when you are dead in sin, think about it. There's nothing you can do to bring yourself out of it. Hence the reason we Christians confess that it is God who makes the sinner alive. And he does so by blotting out their sins. And that takes me into what exactly baptism kills and puts to death. In baptism, the old Adam is killed. The old man is drowned and put to death in the death of Christ. So whenever you read in scriptures and you hear God's word speak to you saying, That when someone is baptized, they are united to the death and burial of Christ. What God is saying is, your sins are put to death in the death of Jesus. Your sins are buried with Christ forever. That's the promise. A promise that comes to you here in these holy waters as God declares. Here sin is killed, drowned, and as Jesus lives, you live. His resurrection from death, your resurrection. The waters that kill are also the waters that purify. They kill the old man, and the new man, by the grace of God, comes forth. It is here in these waters, friends, that Christ is on the scene, because his word is on the scene. And when you have the word of God, you have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And do not forget, please, when Christ is on the scene, friends, there is the forgiveness of sins. And there the sinner is restored to communion with God. These gifts have been given to Orion. These gifts belong to all of God's baptized children. And that is one of the treasures of baptism, friends. It doesn't wear off. It doesn't fade with time. Baptisms don't have a shelf life, no. But God's baptism is with you until he takes you to be with himself. We do not need to renew a baptism of our Lord and our God. You might even recall Paul's words to the Ephesians when he writes to them saying, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Such is it for the Christian. You have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So if you're like me and you can't remember offhand the exact date of your baptism, and that probably means you can't remember the event itself, that's okay. That doesn't take away God's word and his promise. Our memories do not make a baptism valid any more than our forgetfulness takes it away. But we have what God has declared, and that is, in the waters of baptism, there is his name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it is with that name the baptized are sealed as his holy beloved child. Your sins are washed. There is cleansing, purification, because there God promises his sinner is united to the death and resurrection of Jesus. You are alive to God through Jesus Christ, a promise that is given here. And so we've heard what baptism is. We've heard what it does. Here's another question for you. How's all this working out for you? How has your life been since you have been baptized? Gets better every day, doesn't it? The older we get, our problems go away, our temptations go away, our sin gets less, right? Hardly. We hear about the glorious great teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ and how by him we are forgiven. We rest in his grace. We rest in his mercy. But still, one cannot help but see that even for the baptized, life is hard. Even for the Christian, life is difficult. One might even say it gets more difficult as time goes by. I said earlier that in baptism, the old Adam is killed, put to death, but some of you out there may be quick to counter and say, oh yeah, Pastor, well, I assure you, my old Adam is alive and well. And so it is with all of us. He doesn't die easily, does he? The old Adam is a good swimmer. He keeps coming back, doesn't he? Raising his ugly head, wrapping himself around your neck, the temptations, even for the baptized, they still come. The desire to turn away from God and flee towards evil, wickedness, it's there in all of us, every sinner. The desire to take glory for ourselves instead of giving it to God, it is there. It's there in all of us. For the baptized, we still have to struggle, often tooth and nail, just to do what is right. And we fail. We sin and we fall short God's glory as the battle between the old man and the new man still rages within us. Let me just say, Christian, do not feel alone in these struggles, because you are not. Do not be surprised that you find yourself, even though you were baptized a long time ago and you've been in the kingdom of God for a very long time, do not be surprised when you run up against temptations by which you think to yourself, do I still even have faith? Can I even call myself a Christian? Do not be surprised when you run up against temptations where you look at yourself and think, how could God save and love a wretch like me? Even for the baptized, these temptations come our way, and they are powerful. We are not free from these thoughts. And the devil, the world, and our sinful nature will come at you with everything they have, telling you, it's all for nothing then. Give it up. The baptized life is too hard. Don't waste time going to church, hearing the word of God, praying, reading scripture, doing devotions, disciplining your body. Give it up. It's all for nothing. Even the doctrine of baptism comes under attack when we rationalize in our minds and we hear the voice from the world that the whole thing is silly. This notion of water cleansing us from sin, how ridiculous is that, says the wisdom of the world. Really, someone is united to Christ in his burial and in his death and the waters of baptism? Come on, wake up. That's the wisdom of the world speaking. And such a voice is very powerful. And do not think Christians are impervious to such thoughts, because we are not. Isn't it interesting to hear from Paul, before he starts talking about baptism in Colossians, what does he do? He gives us a warning. He warns us about something. You see, the Apostle Paul knew well, very well, how tricky and deceptive the enemies of God can be. They are not stupid. He goes so far as to tell the Corinthian church, the devil and his henchmen, you know what? They can masquerade as angels of light. That means you do not always see them. That means you need to be on guard and you need to be prepared, because there are those out there who want to take a word from the epistle, disqualify you from the prize of eternal life. Let no one take you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Let no one take you captive. That's the divine word of God telling us to watch out. Watch out for philosophy. Watch out for empty deceit. Watch out for those deceptions of the mind. They are strong. They are powerful, and even Christians can succumb to false teaching that is capable, friends, of dragging one away from the faith. If you want one good reason, and there are many, but if you want one good reason of why you should come to church, it is to be fortified, strengthened, preserved, founded upon the rock of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that when these temptations hit you, you will be better prepared. Even for the baptized, temptations come our way, don't they? Our sins pile up daily, and we see them, and we know them. And oftentimes, they cause us to feel guilty. The old man, the old Adam, keeps coming back, and so there is that battle that rages within us. God knows this. He is aware, and he has given us a solution. And so I say to you, friends, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your tribulation, when it does feel as if the weight of the world is on your shoulders, when you are suffering from a guilty conscience in light of your sin, remember, you are baptized. That's a promise that will not go away. Baptism is not a one-and-done event, a one-time washing, but a daily cleansing. As you live daily in repentance and faith to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a Savior, friends, who is yours by faith. by faith, not by your labors, not by your works, as if you can look to God and say, God, look what I have done. No. But out of his grace and his mercy. And what does this faith give you, you ask? We hear it from the epistle reading. God has made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Think about this. Your sins have been nailed to the cross. The legal demands and requirements of God's righteous, holy, and mighty law have been pardoned, and you are forgiven. The sinner is buried with Christ in the waters of holy baptism, and let me tell you, that burial will help you when it comes time for your physical burial. What I mean by that is, in baptism, you are united to the burial with Christ, but you are also united to his glorious resurrection. So, when you are approaching your twilight hour, or any time you are going through this life, and you are feeling the piercing effect of God's law, you see your sins, you feel your guilt, Christian, remember what you have. You have the promise of the gospel. You have what God has given and done for you. Christ died for your sins. Your sins are blotted out. The legal demands of God's law pardoned, taken care of in full by his blood and his cross. As he lives, you live. That is the promise. He is the resurrection and the life. Though you die, you live unto eternity. That is a promise God guarantees to his people here in the waters of holy baptism, a promise that is for Orion, a promise that belongs to all of God's baptized children. Go in his peace. Amen.